How are we doing today? Awesome. It's a beautiful day. It's wonderful to come into the house of the Lord and to honor him and to bless his holy name. Would you stand with me if you're able and let's take some time to thank him for his goodness as we begin our service. Lord God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the freedom we have to worship you and to be led by your Holy Spirit. We're thankful that we can honor you today with song and that we can open our hearts to your word as well. And we just give you thanks and praise. We ask for your anointing to be upon us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I said, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I am blessed beyond the curse, for his promise will endure. That his joy is going to be my strength. Though the sorrow may last for the night, his joy comes with the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. The joy of the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. I know we have less people with two services, but I can't hear you guys. Could you guys sing a little louder, please?
Get him a mic.
I want my life to praise you. I want my life to praise you. I want my life to praise you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. As we continue in song, if you have not had an opportunity to put an offering in the offering plates, you're welcome to do that. And just continue to bless the Lord with your giving. And I do want to draw attention to the love offering I announced for last week that we're going to do today along with this offering for Joel Niles and his wife. As you can see the mural on this back baptistry that is just stunning. It's just beautiful. And he did that as a blessing to you and to our church. And I just would love to be able to bless him back for that. We could never really pay him what that's worth. But we can sure pray God's blessing on their family and their mission, but also to just see that the Lord will bring the funds that they need to do the call of what they've been called to do. So if you are going to participate in a love offering, just earmark your check for Mural or Niles, if you'd like. And if you're online, you can do it the same way. So to just earmark that for the mural, and it will go into the love offering for them. But let's just continue to thank God through giving, through missions, and all that we can do for him.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe in this broken dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than songs we sing, and in our weakness and temptations, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit. And he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. Let the lost be found, the dead be raised in the here and now. Let love in vain, let the church live loud. Our God will save, we believe. We believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know your love will never fail. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And he given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back again. We believe he's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe. We believe.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We do believe in you. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kings will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battle. For the sin of the world, his blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. So open up the gates, make way before the King. God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb. The Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Judah, he's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. And every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Every knee will bow before him.
Thank you, Jesus.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown. My feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep. My faith will stand. Call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours. You are. Grace abounds in deepest waters. Your sovereign hand will be my guide. Where feet may fail and fear surrounds me, you never fail and you won't start now. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours, you are mine. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you may call me. Deeper than my feet could ever wander, my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters, wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. My faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. And I will call upon your name and keep my eyes above the waves. When oceans rise, my soul will rest in your embrace, for I am yours. You are mine. I am yours. You are mine. I am yours. You
Lord, we're so thankful that we are yours, that we're your children, we're your servants, Lord, and we're able to follow you. We hear your voice. We know that your Spirit is always with us as you guide and direct our paths. You encourage us when we're down, and you strengthen us when we're weak. And we're thankful for your Holy Spirit's ever-presence in our lives. May we always be faithful to follow and to serve you with our whole hearts, that we can just give a little back to you with our love and with our service to you, Lord. Just pray for all those who are here that have needs. We lift them up to you, Lord. We know that you hear the prayers of your people. We know that you can answer with the miraculous touch, which you often do. We just ask, God, that you'll guide and direct as only you can, and that we would have the courage to follow in every way we can. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated this morning.
Well, it's good to be together once again this morning. Thank you so much. Ooh, I'm sorry. My bad. When I clipped it on, I thought it felt a little funky. Now I know why. What was I saying? It's good to be here. Thank you for joining us for service today. If you're here in person, awesome. If you're here online, thank you for joining us as well. And we're just privileged to be able to come into God's house. And, you know, we're working through the challenges of this day, figuring out how to handle all of the restrictions and the slow opening up of businesses, of churches and fellowships and all of that. But I think we're doing okay. And so I'm glad you're here. I want to draw your attention to a few things. Thank you for already giving in the offering and for participating with that. I just pray that we're able to bless the Niles family as they are continuing with God's heart vision for people. And just thank you for being a participant in that as well. Today is a very special day for more than one reason. Every day is special. And it's good to have the privilege of just serving the Lord in each and every day. Amen? Today we're having a special baptismal service for those that have asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior without the opportunity to actually be baptized in water yet. Someday we'll use this beautiful baptismal tank, but because it's so nice outside, it's a beautiful thing and a wonderful thing, I believe, to do a public expression of faith in the lake. And so we're going to Holacre Lake at 2 o'clock, and you're all welcome to join us. And we have, right now, for sure, 5 people that will be baptized. So isn't that exciting? And some have been serving the Lord faithfully for quite some time since they first asked Jesus into their heart. Some maybe not as long. But we're going to be doing that together. One group is actually a family of 4 people being baptized. And they can all wave and say, hey, cool. And so we're excited about that. My grandson was going to be baptized, but Dad is working today. And so he asked if he could wait until Dad's not at work, and I, of course, agreed to that. But we have somebody else that's going to join us today as well. And so we're excited about those opportunities. All that God requires of you in a baptism truly is to have basically committed your life to serving Christ. And if you've done that, we'll talk about it to reaffirm that. But then I encourage you to be baptized in water if you haven't had the chance. That is a command that Jesus gave us to do as a confession of faith. I don't believe the water itself saves you from your sins. I don't believe the water is the saving grace of God. But it certainly is a demonstration of the old that is dying so that you can be raised victorious and new in Christ. Amen? So anyway, we're excited about the privilege to do that this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Please join us for that service. Board meeting had to be postponed till this Tuesday. Summer camps are starting up. As a matter of fact, we have 2 vans that are full of the leaders and the youth on their way to camp right now. So we're going to pray for safe traveling mercies. I actually said that in early service, and then I don't recall if I actually prayed that. I think I went right into my message, but I guess I'm supposed to pray now for their safe journey. Should we do that? They're on the road. Let's pray for their safety so I don't forget to do that again. Lord God, thank you for our young people, for our youth that are participating in camp, and for our leaders that are also participating. We just pray, Lord God, for safe traveling mercies to be upon them. May the roads be smooth and good, and may it be a good, safe traveling day. And may you bring them to camp safely, and may they experience a blessing from you and whatever you have in store. If you've got a vision to call someone into the ministry, it's a great place that you've done that, Lord, many times over. If it's a place to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit for some, Lord, we know you do that, and we ask that you will have freedom to have your way in their lives. Just bringing a special touch into each and every youth and each and every leader. And also, Lord, bring them home safely as well. And we just give you thanks and praise for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to just shout out a ladies' coffee is coming up on the 18th. And also, there's a luncheon scheduled for the 26th for the ladies. Keep those things in mind. And then the one thing I should probably point out, Nathan Gentry, who is will be a Bible college student this fall, is going to speak on July 26th. In the bulletin, it says the 28th. I'd rather have him come on Sunday rather than Tuesday, so we're all here. And so that's my bad. I didn't catch that in the draft of the bulletin. But it's the 26th of July. Nathan is going to speak, and he's already had opportunities at our youth group to share, and I asked him if he would be willing to do that Sunday morning. And we will take up a love offering to help defray some of the costs, maybe buy some books for him through a love offering, because it's not a cheap thing to go to college. So we're going to bless him for that, for sharing in the Word of God on that day. So anyway, I want to point out just a couple more things that are, one is not in the bulletin specifically, but one is, and it's needing to be explained. excuse me, we have a missions budget. And I've heard that some people have misunderstood what that is. Well, we are committed, as you'll see in the bulletin, to sending $1,085 every month to specific missions groups. That is something we do regardless of what comes in. In a missions budget plan, we hope that there's enough people that are giving above and beyond their tithes to say, I will pledge this amount of money to missions every month. And if you are able to follow through with that, we're able to meet the budget, and we send in not just the amount, but it's the amount that you have also pledged for covering that cost. We have not been making budget most months, so the general fund picks up what's not coming in, and we send it regardless, because we believe in missions. Amen? And so some people apparently haven't understood that if the money doesn't come in, we still send that amount. I'm saying it now. No matter what comes in for missions support, we send $1,085 minimum. As a matter of fact, there are times where we have special guests and we send more because of the situation of support. But I want you to be aware of that, so you maybe want to prayerfully consider participating with a pledge of a certain dollar amount each month to help meet the missions budget. Pastor Emma is going to be sharing from this day forward with some guidelines and some information about our missions and what it's all about, what the missionaries are doing. And so she'll share generically because we do stream our services, and there are some things we can't say for the safety of those that we support. And so I hope you understand. You'll have an insert, and it'll explain certain things about those that we do support, but we can't always say the details on the online streaming for the safety of our family and friends that are out there. So there you go. The other thing is we've been doing prayer night every Sunday night at 6 o'clock, and I am going to be moving forward with basically we're going to postpone those prayer meetings and regroup sometime later this fall with a vision from God on how to approach the prayer meeting services with a fresh new outlook of what God has in store. And I just want to encourage you to be in prayer daily. Amen? We encourage prayer meetings. We encourage the times that we have together. But I believe that God has something special planned for how we come together as a church to pray for the things that he has in store, seeking his face and finding his guidance. And so as we're going forward, we're basically going to pause, in a sense, what we've been doing and regroup with a vision from what God has. So be with me on that. We'll prayerfully go forward. And I know for those of you who've been a part of the prayer meeting, I'm asking you to continue to pray, continue to join with us daily for God's best for his people, for the needs of our people. Amen. So with all that said, we do not have kids' church today because our leaders are on the road. And so it is a quiet bags day. If you need the quiet bags, by all means, jump into that and grab one of those for the kiddos, the young ones especially. Some of the older ones, like the 40-year-old kids, they may not need the quiet bags. That was a joke. All right. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. And I believe that this is a relevant message for us today that I hope you will be inspired by as I have been. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elisha and Elijah were on their way to Gilgal. I want everybody to say the word whirlwind. Whirlwind. Yeah, isn't that fun to say? Whirlwind. I grew up on a farm in North Dakota, and whirlwinds were a common sight. If you were a Dakota kid, south or north, and even I think as far as here in Montana, you're going to know what a whirlwind is. We saw lots and lots of whirlwinds. And I still remember as a kid thinking about some of those things, the whirlwinds, and wondering if this one's big enough to take me up to heaven or not. Right? There's been some big ones, lots of dust and dirt, and I've even had rocks hit me from a whirlwind before. If you've been in one of those, they're powerful sometimes, not so much other times. But sometimes we misunderstand, or maybe we were mistaught. How many believed as children, and maybe even now, that Elijah went up to heaven in a chariot of fire? How many heard that before? And here's the fun thing. You heard wrong. That is not the way Elijah goes to heaven. It says right here in verse 1, he goes in a whirlwind, but let's read more and see how it all takes place. Verse 2, Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here." It's nice that he says please, right? "For the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha says, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." I don't know if you can relate to this kind of position that he is in, but it would appear that for Elisha, this is not necessarily good news. I mean, Elijah is someone that he's looking up to at this point. He is the prophet of God, and there is a backstory here where Elijah has been called, but we haven't talked about that specifically yet. But it's almost like, you know what? I don't want to hear bad news today. Just be quiet. Just shush. And we move on. Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." Do you sense a pattern here? There's a pattern that is being relayed to us, and I think it's a very signature pattern that we ourselves should learn from. And we'll get into the details of that as we go. But Elisha is being told three different times, "Stay here." And three different times he says, "No." I mean, that's the short answer. So the two of them went on. Verse 7, 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water. And the water was parted to the one side and to the other. till the two of them could go over on dry ground. That's a pretty cool miracle, right? So he walks through the Jordan. I've actually seen the Jordan River, and it is one of the fastest flowing rivers in the world. I don't know if you knew that. So walking into the Jordan River, stepping off of that bank is treacherous, especially if it was flood stage. You could actually drown if that was the case. It doesn't say that it's flood stage here, but it is still a fast-moving river with no bank other than a steep drop-off. And so Elijah rolls up his cloak, strikes the water, it parts. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I should do for you before I'm taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." Wow. And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. If you see me as I'm being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And they were still, and as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in pieces. I'm just going to pause for a moment here. Elisha couldn't be turned aside three times. Elijah tells him, "Stay here." And he says, "Hey, as long as you're alive and I'm alive, I'm not staying. I'm going on with you." Three times. This time, guess what? There's no more going forward. Because God has now come and separated him from Elijah with fiery chariots, fiery horses. What a sight that must have been. I don't know what that literally looked like, but that's the description. And that's pretty cool. But there's no more moving forward here. He's stuck right where he is. But he picks up the cloak that Elijah had after he's gone. It apparently fell off, and there it lay, and he picks it up. He stood on the bank of the Jordan, and he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water. And I love this. Saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Amazing. Now, when the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho saw him opposite them, they said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful that we can glean from this your truth. We're thankful that we can look at a story of two prophets that you used in powerful ways. We're thankful, Lord, that we can see how we are like Elijah at times in the struggles of which he faced. As we bear that out, as we look into his life just a little bit, we can relate. But Lord, I just pray that as we also look into the life of Elisha, we will find ourselves relating more and more and more to him. A man who sought a double portion of your spirit. May we be a church and may we be a people that has the desire to not turn aside. May we be a people that has a desire to have all of what you can give by the power and the anointing of your spirit. And I pray, God, that we will learn from this story and apply it to our own lives as you will. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we were challenged with the Song of the Vineyard. If you haven't had a chance to listen to that message, I challenge you to do so. It's not an easy sermon. It's not an easy lesson. As a matter of fact, it's a really tough one. Because the gist of what the Song of the Vineyard was all about is that God had a desire to put a vine in a place that he had established, put the good dirt, had it weeded and protected by hedges, and did all that he could by the watering and the curing and the trimming of those vines to produce grapes. And all that came from the vine was wild grapes, not good ones that could be used, but ones that had to be thrown and tossed aside. And the end result of that story, which was a love story, is that he was having to then tear down the hedge of protection, tear down the wall, let the enemy come in and trample and destroy and devour. That was the end result of a vine that would not produce. And I relayed that message of how we are also God's planting, that we are his vine. We are placed into the ground to produce a fruit for him, for the kingdom of God. And if we do not produce what he has required of us, what will be the end result? The end result is his protection is removed, and the enemy comes in and tramples on us and devours us. Not a good picture. And so the end result, or the goal and the challenge, is produce the fruit of God. Amen. But how? How can I, a mere man, how can you, a mere man, woman, boy, girl, how can you produce what God desires? You need his help. I need his help. We are called to produce the fruit for God's kingdom, even though we live in a world where chaos seems to rule and reign. You are not given a pass because, well, life is hard. It is a pretty challenging day in which we live, so just take it easy. Survive if you can. No, produce fruit is the challenge and the goal. Amen. How can we find success when there's so many things that stand against us? Well, I believe the answer is the same answer we've already seen in the life of Elisha. He says, I want a double portion of the Spirit. It's not enough to simply get by. It's not enough to have highs and lows and struggle and then have victory and then have a terrible day and full of depression and sadness and fear. It's not enough to live this way. I want to live victorious every day. And that's what Elisha desired, is a double portion of what Elijah had. Now, Elijah's response was, whoa, whoa, you're asking a really hard thing. Are you sure you can handle it, Elijah? I mean, that was the gist of what he says. That's a hard thing. But if you see me go, it will come. He will come. And of course, he saw, he received. Hallelujah. Will you have the heart of Elisha is the challenge. Will you have the heart of Elisha to receive all that he has? Well, Elisha wants a double portion. Let's look back to 1 Kings chapter 19. We were in 2 Kings, now we're in 1 Kings. It's funny how the stories overlap with details, and you put them together from two different books to get a full understanding of what's really going on here. Verse 15 through verse 21. I'm going to give the backstory. Elijah has just had a tremendous victory. He was able to annihilate a bunch of Baal worshipers, false prophets, in front of King Ahab and Jezebel. He literally called down fire from heaven to prove who is the one true God. That is what has just happened. And after that happened, he got scared because Jezebel didn't like it. She was angry and said, kill that man. And so now Jezebel is going to take the life of Elijah. And what does Elijah do? I'm a man of God. I called down fire from heaven. God is the one true God. He is my protector. He's my savior. He's my friend. He's my father. Heh, don't worry about you. No, he didn't do that. He got scared and he ran. And he ran and he ran and he ran. until he finally couldn't run anymore, and he found himself on a mountainside, and he's protected from the raging, burning sun, and he's famished, he's hungry, and he's thirsty, and he's crying, "Oh, Lord God, where are you? I'm the only prophet in the whole wide world." Yeah. The man who just had tremendous victory is now complaining because God has somehow forsaken him. And so God comes to him, not in the thunder, not in the lightning and the wow, but he comes to him in a still small voice through the quiet whispering wind. And this is the result of God's appearing. This is what we read about the end of what that request was from Elijah, who is really, really down right now and being ministered to. God is saying to him, "Go back the way you came." After all that running. Verse 14, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." That's a woe is me moment. God says, "Return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint to be the king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Japhat, the Abel Meholah." I don't know how to say that. I did practice it, and I'm still no good at it. "You shall anoint to be prophet in your place." Who? Elisha. "And the one who escaped from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him." So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Japhat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12. Now that's a big farming operation. I mean, back in my day, they must have the big Cougar Steiger tractors, because those are the good ones, right? Those got the 500 horsepower. Maybe the Panther was. Which one was bigger, Panther or Cougar? Panther? Panther's bigger. So we want the Panther Steiger, because those are the big machines. Or maybe you went to the Fargo show, and what's that big, the big one they call that? They made it in Fargo. Big Bud. There you go. Big Bud, yeah. You got the big tractor. Well, Elijah has the big Bud. He's got the big tractor. And that's not a beer, by the way, just so you know. Big farming operation. He's running the 12th. So that, depending on how you add those up and the way it's meant to be understood, that could be 24 oxen, 12 different pairs. Elijah passed by him while he's plowing with the 12th pair. And what does he do? He cast his cloak upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" Well, we know, if you know the culture, that was a big deal. If someone was placing his cloak upon you, there's an anointing, there's something special happening, and Elisha got it. He understood. This is my chance. This is the call of God on my life. And so he went after Elijah. Elijah says, "Hey, what have I done?" Verse 21. "And he returned from following him and took the yoke of oxen and sacrificed them, and boiled their flesh with the yolks of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. And he arose and went after Elijah and assisted him." From that day forth, this farmer was no longer a farmer. He says, "I'm following you, Elijah. You put your cloak upon me." And Elijah knew what he was doing. I think he was testing him, if anything, because God had specifically said, "You will anoint Elisha to be the one that follows you." And he did what God asked him to do. He put his cloak upon him, and Elisha says, "I'm all in." And he walked away from his oxen, and not only did he walk away, but he made sure he couldn't go back, because he sacrificed them to the Lord, boiled them up, and fed them to the people. Now, I don't know how that works in common day language. If you take the tractor and you burn the tractor, I mean, that usually causes problems and fines because of the fuel and the black rubber tires. And if you do that on purpose, you'll probably get in trouble. So don't burn your tractor. Maybe a better way of understanding that is have a farm auction. Right? You have a farm auction, get rid of the machinery, sell the land, and now there's no going back. And that's exactly what Elisha did. He made it so he couldn't go back. He could not be turned away because he's got nothing to go back to. Elisha sought a double portion. As you recall from the text, three different times Elijah is going to move forward and he tells Elisha, stay here. And Elisha says, no way, I'm not staying. I'm going with you. I will not be turned aside. I'm with you all the way. Only God could stop him from going forward that last time. And he did it with fiery chariots and he did it with fiery horses. And it makes me kind of wonder, and I've never really pondered it deeply, but is it possible that the only reason the chariots of fire came was because of that stubborn guy that wouldn't stay? Elisha wouldn't stop. And maybe God just says, fine, the time is now. I'll make you stay here. And he puts the fiery chariots and the horses, and now he can't cross because it's like, whoa, that's dangerous. And then he watches as Elijah goes up in a whirlwind. I don't know why the chariot was needed or why it was necessary. Someday maybe we can sit down and talk to the Lord about it in detail. But I do know this. Elisha sought a double portion and he got a double portion. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13 through verse 15. It was part of our text. He took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan, and when he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, he struck the water, saying, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And when he struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. He saw Elijah go. The promise has been given. If you see me go, you will receive what you've asked. And then he verified it by parting the water with the cloak that God had given him as a garment and a blessing from Elijah, from God to him. Here's the interesting facts. When you compare Elijah with Elisha, Elijah was a solitary figure. In other words, he spent a lot of time by himself. And he struggled with periods of depression. Not only depression, but fear. So he was used by God. He did miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet he had his ups and his downs and his ups and his downs. And he was like a roller coaster of emotion. Elisha, on the other hand, was not the same in that regard. There is absolutely no record that Elisha ever even complained. He never fled from an enemy. He never lost courage, and he never dealt with depression. And I wonder to myself as I read this story and as I share it with you, did Elisha see the power of God in Elijah's life and say, you know, that was good, but I don't want to be up and down with my emotions. I don't want to live in fear and depression. I don't want to have victory days and terrible days. I want to be able to serve God victoriously every single day. And when the enemy threatens me, I can stand my ground and say, I am okay because God is my protector. Did it happen that Elisha recognized, I need more of God than even Elijah has? if I am going to be fully, tremendously used. And I believe there's a good chance that he saw all that was before him and drew the same conclusion that we can, that how did God take this prophet who whined and complained half the time up into heaven without dying? What was God thinking when he did this? Well, he obviously loved Elijah. And Elijah obviously loved the Lord. And God says, I want you now. And he took him. That's God's prerogative. It's his choice. But did Elisha see, wow, Elijah's good and then he's sad and then he's doing well and then he's not doing so well. He's got courage and now he's afraid. I don't want to be like that. I need a double portion of this Spirit of God. I believe you and I both need a double portion in our day. Elisha sought the double portion, and he got the double portion. He received just as he asked. And his story is amazing, with victory after victory after victory. Turn with me to the New Testament, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. Well, if that's not an understatement, I don't know what is, right? I believe we're living in the last days, and I believe that the evidence is before us. What kind of difficulty are we going to have? Well, verse 2 kind of starts laying it out. People will be lovers of self. I find it ironic and almost humorous that probably one of the most recognized photos that you and I can take today is called a selfie. Now, I'm not very good at selfies. I just fumble all around. I drop my phone. Somebody actually felt sorry for me and bought me one of those selfie sticks, and I never did get to use that, Lou. But thank you for caring, right? I'm just not into the selfie thing. I really don't like to look at myself a whole lot. So if you got to look at me, I don't have to look at me, right? But selfies are a big deal. And some people are addicted to it. Self, 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 self. It's like, okay, that's getting a little out of control, isn't it? Now, I don't want to make you feel bad if you like taking selfies. But the point being is we are living in an age where we are all about me. It's all about me. What can I get out of life? What can I have about me? What can I gain? What can I... And it's an issue because we're lovers of self. And that goes on. Lovers of money. Well, here's the bottom line. You don't have to have lots of money to love money. If I'm being honest, I have actually worked with more people who were poor that loved money than people who were well off and loved money. Now, I'm not saying that one or the other dictates the love of money. I'm saying that love of money is an issue today. And if you're not careful, you're going to fall in that trap. And you're going to become a lover of money. Proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Is that not the day we live? It is. We are seeing this in a exponential increased amount, I believe, every single day, every week, every year. It only gets worse. It doesn't seem to want to get better. Well, why not? Because these are the last days. I need help so that I don't succumb to the pressures of this world. I can't do it by myself. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not stubborn enough, even though I'm very stubborn. I need the help of God. And so do you. If you jump to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Look at verse 3 and verse 4. It says, the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This is the day of which we live. I would love to be able to tell you that if you go to a church in America that calls itself Christian, you are going to receive the full gospel message of His truth about His love for you and your need for salvation, that you can find your sins forgiven, you can commit your life to Christ and become born again, you will be a new creation. I would love to tell you that you can go to any church in America that calls himself Christian and you will find that teaching, but that is not the case. And that breaks the heart of God. It breaks my heart. Because we have allowed myths and false doctrines to take precedence over God's truth. We are living in this day. And that's just dealing with the church aspect of truth. Then you get into the world and the whole concepts of what is now true versus what is not true. And it's just baffling to me what we're calling truth today. I mean, I can go into the details, but then we're going to get mired down in all this mud, and I don't want to get there right now. You know that this day of which we live is full of false teachings and lies and deceptions. How can I be successful in this life of which I'm living? How can you be successful and not live a life that is so up and down and roller coaster victory and then defeat? I believe that we need to take the heart of Elijah to our heart and have a desire for a double portion. Are you committed to God? Well, so was Elijah. And God loved him so much that he took him up to heaven. He didn't even have to die. I mean, that's pretty cool. But I would rather not live his life. I would rather not be Elijah. I would rather be Elisha. Because his life was full of victory, not depression, not fear, but constant living and serving God without fail. And the heart of what he expressed, when Elijah says, stay here, he says, I'm sorry, no. I will not be turned aside. I am going to get the blessing of God. I am not stopping until the day comes when I can't go forward anymore. I will continue on, Elijah, and I am going to see you out of here. And that's exactly what happened. And the promise was given, if you see me go, you shall receive. And he saw him go, he received, and he became the most powerful missionary, or the most powerful prophet, if you will, that the Old Testament has ever shown. It's like, wow, this guy was full of God's love, his grace, and his authority and power and victory. Do you want to have a life of victory in the midst of a chaotic, upside-down world? I hope that you do, and I hope that you cannot be turned aside. I'm going to ask you, don't answer these questions out loud, but I'm going to ask you these personal questions. How easy is it for you to be turned aside? Let's talk about some of the things that we can be turned aside from. How about coming to church? How easy is it for you to say, not today? If it's easy, I'm concerned. It should be anguish for you. It should be turmoil in your spirit. I want to be in the presence of my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to be challenged by the Word of God and be stretched in my faith. I want to hear a message not only that uplifts me, but a message that challenges me that I can do more for God, that I can grow in faith, that I can be discipled, and I can be challenged, and I can be victorious. And if you are easily turned aside from the coming together of the saints, there's a problem. There's a problem, and let me tell you, there is a problem in this church. And probably every church. Because it's so easy to just take it easy. That's one area. How's your prayer life? How you doing with taking time each day to have communion with God? If you need, and we talked about this, if you need a prayer meeting to find your strength of faith, then there's a problem in your life. Prayer meetings are important, and we're going to reestablish that, and it's going to be fire. Let's pray for chariots of fire. Well, maybe not. That'd be like, whoa, right? But let's pray that God will do the miraculous through the times that we have in gathering as a family. But if you're not prayed up in the Spirit before you come, I'm sorry, it's not going to happen when we're together. How easily are you turned aside in your prayer life? How easily are you turned aside with your devotions and reading the Word of God? And you can say, well, I get my word from the pastor, or I have a Bible study I listen to. I'm sorry, but that's not what God wants for you. He wants you to be in on your own. Take the time to look into God's Word and ask God, what are you saying to me? And there's so many other ways that we can go down this path of the turning aside. When God prompts your spirit and you see the person standing at the ice cream place and you're looking about that wonderful choice that you're going to make, and you just know that ice cream is going to be really good because you're, we'll just say we're at Cold Stone, the greatest ice cream that's ever been, right? And you're looking at that Cold Stone ice cream and you're like, and then God says, that person sitting over there needs you to speak to them about how much I love them. Okay, Lord, that's a lot to ask. I mean, because I don't know them, and they might get mad, they might be offended, and my ice cream, right? Now maybe you're saying, well, God's never even done that for me before. I'm like, really? Why not? I mean, there's people that need the Lord, and here we are with the answer, and we're not sharing it. How easily are you turned aside from those moments where God pricks your heart with His Holy Spirit and says, speak, share, love. We want to see the miraculous. We want to see people rise out of wheelchairs and drop the crutches, but we won't pray for them except for at church, at the altar, when there's a special evangelist present. Well, I'm going to challenge you. When you're at CC's or some other restaurant in town, and that's just one that pops up, I don't know, maybe their business will go up big time now. Whoa, no, I'm just kidding. But and God says, pray over this person. Are you turned aside real easily, or are you like, nope, I'm doing this. The Holy Spirit has prompted me, and I'm going to be faithful to God. Matthew chapter 11. Let's wrap this up. We just got a few more verses to follow up on. Let's see what God's vision is for you and I. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Well, that in its face looks like a bad verse. But what it's saying is that it is the church that is moving, going forward, and taking things under the power and the anointing of God. And you're like, really? That's a lot to see in one verse. Let's look at another one and follow it up, and you'll understand where I'm coming from. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And I want to pause for a moment there for an explanation. God is not telling Peter, I'm going to build the church upon you. What he's actually saying, when you look at the context of all that's being said, is I'm going to build this church upon the statement of which you've just said, that I am the Messiah, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the truth, and I will build my church on this truth. And that is what takes place from the very beginning. Peter was the first pastor. He was the early leader of the disciples. And that's a side note, but I want you to see that truth. And here's what he says. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, last time I checked, gates don't move. But what do? We're trying to defend our own against the world's attacks when it should be the other way around. I'm not saying attack in a negative sense, but overcome people with the power of God's love. Where are we in the advancement of the kingdom of God? Are we simply sitting by and hoping people show up? Are we actually going forward with the authority and the love and the power of His anointing? And are we presenting the gospel to this world? And the gates of hell, which have bound them, cannot stand against the power and the love of God, and they're being broken down and people are getting saved. That's what we're supposed to be doing, rather than sitting back and just hoping good things happen. The gates of hell will not prevail. We're the ones that are advancing, not hell. In order to do this, in order to be faithfully victorious, I believe that we need to draw the conclusion that we need a double portion of God's Spirit. You can live your life as Elijah. You can. And you can have those moments of victory and rejoice in those days. And then tomorrow be depressed and sad and overwhelmed. And then have another moment of victory and, God is good. And then have a terrible day and now you're living in fear because the enemy is attacking and they want to take you out. And now you run for your life. And you're terrified, and you finally, out of exhaustion, can't go anymore, and you just completely fall down, and you're just like, and God says, okay, now that you stopped running, let's have a talk. And then you get, okay, thank you, Lord, and now you're on your way. Do you want that for your life? I don't. I don't want to be that guy. I want to be able to live victoriously every single day. I want to hear from God. I want to see His anointing. I want to be able to live without fear and know that He's got it under control, even when the world is upside down. I want to be like Elisha, who could not be turned aside and said, I want a double portion. Because I've watched your life, Elijah, and you're a good guy. I love you much, but you could have done better. And I want a double portion because I don't want to struggle the way you have. Acts chapter 1. Verse 4 through 8, while staying with him, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They still didn't get it here. They were still confused. Verse 7, he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. These disciples had already been challenged to make disciples. Jesus had already appeared to them, breathed on them, and said, receive the Holy Spirit. I believe they did. I believe at this point in their life, they are what we would call born-again believing disciples, that they have received the Spirit of God and that they have been anointed and forgiven, and they are ready to go forward with the kingdom of God before them and pray and teach and make disciples. And Jesus says, no, not yet. You're not quite ready yet. You need to wait for the gift of my Father. You need a double portion of the Spirit. And they did. Because every one of those guys died because of their faith in Jesus Christ and their presentation of the gospel. All but one. John, he lived to be an old man. Somewhere around that 90, maybe as much as 92 years old. But you know how he lived? Well, he lived the same way the others did, except when he was supposed to die, he didn't. At least that's the way they looked at it. He was boiled in hot oil, and that was the punishment, and he survived. You're not supposed to survive that. But he did. Now what do we do with the guy? Well, I guess we'll send him to that island over there, that prison island. In our day and age, we'd call that Alcatraz, right? For those that know what that was all about. But it's the island of Patmos. And so what does John do? Well, he goes to this island, this prison island. Miraculous things happen, but this is where he saw the revelation of which we read today. He had a double portion of the Spirit of God. He never turned aside, continued to preach the gospel even when he was supposed to be dead, and then went beyond that and as a man in his later years received what we call the revelation of God, and we have it before us today, which speaks of the end days. When you look at the difference between the disciples before the day of Pentecost and after, it is phenomenal. And I believe it's the same kind of scenario of looking at faithful, wonderful prophet of God, Elijah, and faithful, wonderful prophet of God, Elisha. There seems to be a special blessing above and beyond with him. And I believe that's what we need today. Would you stand with me as we close? Will you seek a double portion? Will you be the one that says, I can't be turned aside. I'm all in. I am willing and able and faithful and always will and shall be. And Lord, I know I need your help. Will you pour out your Spirit in my life? Will you open up heaven and rain down your blessing upon me so that I can be used of you the way God, you have intended me to be? Is that your prayer? Is it my prayer? Or do you just want to skate by and just get along as best you can? I pray that you're one that says, I want all that God has. It's not enough to just make it. I want to be all in every day, all day. Lord, I need your help. I don't always hear your voice. I want to hear you better. I always have the courage to say yes when you speak. I want to say yes always. I have received from you what I would call the double portion of blessing. And I'm still a guy, I'm still a man that will struggle. But Lord, I'm thankful that you're with me in a special way as you are with all who know you. But Lord, we need that gift, that extra blessing to be faithful when all of hell is breaking loose. We can stand. We don't live in fear. We pray and see the miraculous because we hear your voice. That's the desire that you have for us, Lord. Hallelujah. These altars are open for you if you want to come forward and just kneel before him and just pray through to receive that blessing. I'm going to close. But I want you to come if God is leading you to do so. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the story of Elijah and Elisha. And I pray that the evidence of what they lived before us and the evidence of the disciples and their faithfulness after Pentecost will inspire us all to seek all that you have We ask this all in Jesus' name. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Amen. God bless you as you go.